Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, another great show planned for you guys. Mark Geragos up on stage with us, and we'll be coming to you from Salt Lake City once again with the energy of the crowd. First, let me tell you about Red Cap. Comfort done right, making workwear and uniforms since 1923 for essential workers, making our communities thrive. Clothing for many industries, automotive, culinary, manufacturing, waste management, oil block coveralls resist engine fluids. Yeah, you need that. Oil just beads up and rolls off, doesn't stand a chance. Latest project is for road heroes. That's right, truckers. The trucker tab, a $50,000 tab at Cracker Barrel to feed our long haulers. Check it out at truckertab.com. This stuff is high quality. It is first rate. And you got to appreciate all the truckers. You know, we're always talking about the doctors and the first responders and the firemen and all that. What about the guys? You know, we're plotting the guys at the Trader Joe's. How about the guys who bring all the food to the Trader Joe's? That's a trucker. So you want to donate too? Good. I did. Just go to truckertab.com. Red Cap. Workwear done right.
Just $25, you get wine and gifts. Ace's favorite stuff or products from HDS. Every single month, you get the drink you choose. It's hard to beat cool stuff and booze. Adam's Monthly Nut. Adam's Monthly Nut.
You heard Dick. It's time for a brand new month of Adam's Monthly Nut. This month includes a download of Basic Cable Commentary Presents the award-winning Showgirls, a migraine stick, perfect for your hangovers, an ACS logo pop, stick it on your phone, set it and forget it, a keto-friendly and Vinny-approved chipmunk cookie to stave off hunger without a burrito, and of course, a bottle of your choice. The $60 value is yours for only $25. Head to CorollaDrinks.com to get 1 month or keep the shipments coming. Live from Wise Guys Comedy Club in Salt Lake City and brought to you by Bet Online, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Mark Geragos, with Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects, plus a spirited round of blah, blah, blog, and now, any heckling, and Geragos will sue your ass. Adam Carolla!
Hey, there you go. Hey, thanks for joining us tonight. Thank you, Salt Lake City. Mark Geragos is our guest tonight. We'll bring in Bald Brian and Gina Grant, a couple of few. I thought we'd just start and chat with Mark for a minute. So I went to your famous Mexican food place, the Red Iguana, right?
Oh, yeah.
Very good. Very good Mexican food, as far as the ambiance goes. Directly next to the Red Iguana is a motel.
Right.
The motel is advertised. It may be an older establishment because they're advertising that they have something called color TV. I don't know. Do you guys know that one? I don't know that one. I'm not familiar. We had a black and white Zenith back at the pad. But all right, there's evidently a color TV brought to you by RCA.
You forgot to mention air conditioning.
Right. Yeah. Air conditioning brought to you by Sears. Like, literally a bunch of defunct companies have sponsored this hotel. But I want to ask you, I'm going to have Mark help me on this, the saddest of all the tableaus, because I think I have the saddest. So there's sad things. Like I was at my shop in Glendale a couple years ago, and there was a fat guy riding a bicycle made for two with nobody on the back. Aww. And I thought, oh, that's such a sad testimonial.
Armo?
Not an Armo.
Okay.
Not an Armo. Just a fat, blue-eyed devil just going along. And it's sad because the pedals turn behind you.
Behind you.
You know what I mean? It's so sad. So you tell me, fatter imagery or sadder imagery. Okay. Fat guy riding bike alone, symbolically suggesting he's not dateable. Or, saw this in Glendale as well, guy in wheelchair propelling himself with his feet. Ironically, confined to a wheelchair, pushing himself backwards through the intersection with the feet. You've seen that move?
I have. The wheelchair? In fact, I saw on, what is this, Main Street here today, guy propelling with his arms in the wheelchair.
Well, but that was designed to function that way. I'm saying, ironically, if you're in a wheelchair and you're using your feet to propel yourself, maybe you don't need the wheelchair, right? That's just me. So guy, and backwards. You can only do it backwards when you propel yourself into a... So you tell me. All right, fat guy, bicycle built for two alone, person in wheelchair pushing themselves backwards across the street, or today's tableau, right next to the Red Iguana with the motel there. People who resided in the motel smoking and drinking a Tall Boy Natural Lights around the swimming pool empty. Not since Con Air and Steve Buscemi sitting with the little blonde girl with the dolly in the shallow end has there been such a sad image. What is the saddest? Is it the pool, the empty pool?
No, that's clearly number one.
The pool.
I mean, that's if you're ranking who you'd want to be, I would rather be the guy by the empty pool with the tall boy.
Okay.
That would be number
All
one.
Right. Number one.
Number two would be the bicycle built for two.
Okay.
And number three would be the guy in the wheelchair.
I agree. But what about the confusion? What about the confusion when someone says to the person that's hanging around the empty pool,
yeah,
what happened to your 4-year-old son, Jeremy? And then you go, he died because he fell in the pool. Ooh. And then the person goes, oh, yeah, drownings are a big deal. Oh, no, compound fracture. He bled out in the deep end. And then the person goes, what? Wait a minute, he fell in the pool, right? So he drowned in the pool? No, skull fracture. Paramedics didn't find him till the next day. So what'd they use? That boom to gaff him out? No, they just walked down there. Said he died in a pool. Very sad, right?
Right, because you assume water.
Because the thing about... You assume water, you're right. You get the joke, right?
I got the joke. You assume
got
water.
The joke, yeah. This thing, I always thought to myself, when I was doing the Man Show many years ago, Jimmy and I went to this clinic where they did penis enlargements, right? And the penis enlargement place, they did a few things. They did like a graft. They did a thing where they clip the muscle and they pull it out. You know, there's a ligament. You fellas may not know this, but there's like 2 inches of your dick that... buried in you that you're not, it's like a Tony Robbins thing. It's like a potential that's undiscovered. You know what I mean? Like your dick is not living up. I have a huge dick living inside of a small cock's body because there's more in it. And if they clip this ligament, they can pull it out. But it's sort of like saying, I'd like to get another 9 inches out of my mailbox, and you lift it up, great, but a good wind is going to take it down. So evidently, you can't pull it out that high. But either way, one of the ways to enlarge your penis is through a series of weights. You actually hang weights off of your dick, and you walk around all day with these weights on your dick, and you stretch it out. Much like you might do with your earlobes, you know, putting in ever larger piercings and earrings and gauges and all that kind of stuff. By the way, my son, I said to him,
in the street the other day, and I did not see weights.
No weights. But I said, if you want to get one of those earrings, those big gauge earrings.
Yeah, like, what is the...
You want to do a single stud like you're a possession receiver in the NFL or... something, a ball, or you want to do a big diamond stud, knock yourself out. You start getting the big hoops and the big gauges.
But
there,
it's not really a hoop. It's kind of like
a gauge. They just keep stretching it out. I said, knock yourself out, but understand that when that hole gets big enough, I'm going to come up behind you. And I'm going to ear fuck you. And I don't care if we're at fucking Thanksgiving I don't care if we're at your fiancé's house for Thanksgiving. If that thing gets big enough for my dick, I'm coming up behind you. So do what you want. You do what you want. I'm not telling you what to do, but understand these are the rules. These are the rules. I don't make the rules.
You know,
I kind of do make the rules.
I've always thought, I was an anthropology major, and we used to study West Africa, and they used to have... That was a cultural imprint in West African culture. And when did that get misappropriated or appropriated by young, what you call blue-eyed types?
Well, I don't want to... I know you represent Kaepernick, but I blame Black Lives Matter. I do. I blame Black Lives Matter.
How did I know you'd go there? How did I know that?
So these guys put
do you know I've got two clients right now that Adam has savaged on both sides. And the clients listen on occasion and will get mad. And one is Kaepernick and the other is Jussie Smollett. And Adam has come up with this line that he uses and it drives Jussie nuts. And he goes, "You've represented Mark the Black Messiah and
the white pariah?
Yeah.
Was that Scott Peterson?
And then he goes, and then the black pariah, which is Juicy. So.
Oh, right. Jussie's all that. All right. So weights on the dick. Weights on the dick. So you can add weights to your penis and stretch it out and get a little extra out of it that way. But I always thought to myself, you got to stay away from the swimming pool because if you are skimming that swimming pool and you're wearing those weights on a Sunday and all
you
of
go
a sudden
head over.
You catch a little slippery coping and you go in and they just find you down at Davy Jones' locker, like literally just standing at the deep end, breathing.
Yeah, one of the things that I worry about, though, is can you imagine Sonny, this is Adam's son, who is an old soul, wouldn't you agree? Sonny is...
Yeah, I would call him decrepit.
And he's a wonderful kid. I mean, I see him walking around. We live a horse trail away from each other. And I see when I walk in the morning, sometimes I'll see Sonny walking Phil. And he looks you in the eyes. How old is he now? 13?
He's 14.
14. And he's a well-spoken, very curious young man. And I worry about him sometime going to school. And in this day and age in California, there's very zero tolerance for anything controversial. And can you imagine Sonny saying to somebody, "My dad told me that if I get an ear and it got big enough that he didn't care if it was Thanksgiving, he was going to ear fuck me." And I worry that I'm going to get a call and there's going to be a bail hearing for Adam for child endangerment because he wanted to ear fuck Sonny because he had an earring. And those are the kinds of things I worry about.
I appreciate that you stay up late thinking about that kind of stuff, Mark.
I'm saying that's part of my post-traumatic Corolla syndrome.
I will say that I'm a big fan of your Salt Lake City, and I'll tell you why. Because I kind of I measure cities by sort of little things. I don't look at the gross national product. I don't look at the taxes and crime and statistics and all. It's all good, but I'm saying it's like I look at little things. And one of the things I noticed about 10, 11 years ago when I was in Kirkland, Washington, beautiful little city, it's about 20 minutes outside of Seattle, they have flags to cross the street. They literally, if you want to cross the street, you take a flag, you hold it above your head, you walk across the street, you replace it in the receptacle on the other side. And I thought, wow, Kirkland, Washington is out of problems. They have flags for crossing the street. Well, guess who else has those?
Do you know what they've got?
Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City is one of the most civilized places I've ever stayed. For those of you who don't know, I tried a case here. In fact, we're still trying it because Corona interrupted. And we lived here for January, February, and March. And I was so impressed coming from downtown Los Angeles, where my office is, which is literally a war zone. They have decided to here, whoever has got the smarts, they've dealt with your panhandling problem in some very creative ways. First of all, they put up signs that say, don't panhandle. Then they've got little meters. I don't know if you've seen this. If you have the urge to give money, you put it in the meter for panhandling, which is genius. Because rather than give it, because you know what I have to do in L.A.? We get downtown L.A., which was on the rise until we had this wonderful gentleman named Mayor Garcetti who got elected and decided to destroy it. No, you have no idea. I said earlier, I am rooting so badly for Joe Biden to win because Joe Biden will take Garcetti and make him head of HUD in Washington, D.C., and will be rid of him as the mayor of Los Angeles.
Right.
And then the whole country can deal with him.
Right.
So what I have to do, we don't have the meters, we don't have flags, we don't have that kind of stuff. I have to train we call them 5150s, which is a danger to themselves or others. And we now live in downtown L.A. in an open-air insane asylum because we have no mental health system, so we just have them on the street. I have trained the psychos to each day of the week, so I will only give them money on their particular day. So I've got Thursday guy, I've got Friday guy, Saturday guy. Then I have, the one exception is Dr. Alien, who patrols the alleyway.
Sure. Adam Cena. Going to outlive us all.
Yeah, Dr. Alien has developed, he's resistant to anything, any bubonic plague, corona, he can survive anything. And he believes, he speaks a language that nobody else understands. And
only Anne Heche can understand it.
Exactly.
Deep cut.
And he believes that he's patrolling for aliens in the back alley for me, and I'll give him money every day so that he can continue to in that belief system.
I did use the meter when I didn't use the flag to cross the street, but I did use the little homeless meter. You put like 50 cents in there, just turn the thing. Some Chex Mix came out, and I just fed. It was like a petting zoo. Now, you just hold your hand open. They'll bite it. You have to hold your hand softly. You can't go overhand. They're threatened by that. Just hold your palm open. Let them sniff your hand. It's like being at a deer garden. It was awesome. I just put my hand out. I put a little malt liquor and I cupped my hands. I fed the babies the malt liquor. All right, should we bring in Gina and Bald Brian, zooming in with us here? Gina Grad and Bald Brian, as we live and breathe, everybody.
Hey.
All right, so we got some blah, blah, blog to play, which is always a favorite of mine. I wanted to play Gina and Bald this clip. I played it to Mark earlier in the day when we did A Reasonable Doubt. Up here on stage, it was our own Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, and he was on a podcast, and he was being interviewed about people leaving California and whether or not he was concerned about that. And I found his answer to be revealing, quite revealing. So we'll play that. You guys can, I think, hear it okay. And it just starts with him basically explaining. The person that's interviewing him is saying, hey, you know, Mr. Newsom, people are leaving California. Is that an issue? Does that concern you? Here's his answer.
Former Governor Brown said it best. Where the hell are you going to go? And, you know, I love Texas. Don't get me wrong.
Is that the new California motto? Where the hell are you going to go?
I don't know, but he said it. But it was an interesting point, because where are you going to get so many of the other things in the balance sheet?
But you are aware that I've lived there for 2 decades, essentially. And this is the first time I've had people really talking about not being there, and not that they could figure it out somewhere else. I don't think that's true. I think they can figure out where they're going to go.
Yeah, and then that meets, but it's not a zero-sum game.
Right.
Okay, I have a friend who just went to Utah. Beautiful. It may be the right thing for him. They've made a ton of money. They have the ability to take their kids out of public school into private school, and they're doing that. And, you know, I imagine they're not going to turn their back forever on California.
Okay, so your example of where people going to go is to cite a friend of yours who left California to go to Utah. Gina Grad.
Yeah.
You interview me. You asked me, what about the homeless problem in Southern California?
So, Adam, what about that homeless problem that we experience in Southern California?
Homeless problem? What homeless problem? I was just stabbed by a homeless guy yesterday.
So you agree there's a homeless problem?
No. I mean, it was just assaulted by one on my way to this interview. Like, your example of people not leaving California is a friend of yours who left California. And his thing, he ends it with, I think they'll be back one day. Yes, they will be back one day in an urn to be sprinkled over the Malibu Pier. That's when they're going to return, not to pay taxes, in an urn.
Well, and what a glib, smarmy, especially when you answer a question with a question, where the hell are they going to go? Did California secede from the nation when I wasn't looking? There's plenty of places to go.
I got to tell you, it is officially on, and again, I don't want to get into crime rates and taxes and cost of living. I will tell you this. We were driving to go to the Red Iguana Mexican food place, and I passed a P.F. Chang's. And if you got a fucking P.F. Chang's, then I can live in your community. It is on. It is now officially on. You find me a map of the United States, you put pins where P.F. Chang's are, and I can live in that community, because that means you are evolved, you have good Chinese food at a reasonable price, and I am there. So if in fact you have a P.F. Chang's in your community, then you are perfectly inhabitable.
Well, one of the things we discussed, Gina, when we did Reasonable Doubt earlier, is... Yeah. Believe it or not, some of you were there here for this, when he says, well, I think they'll be back. Well, there's one reason. They're going to be back to fight the 10-year tail that California has put on anybody who leaves. I don't know if you know this, but this is God's honest truth. California's Franchise Tax Board, which we call FTB, fuck them, but the...
Fuck them bastards.
Fuck... They've instituted, because this is such a problem, high earners are leaving California because of the tax structure, they've instituted new guidance or rules and regulations that say that they, if you move out of the state, they are still going to make a claim against you for your earnings for 10 years.
How is that enforceable? No one signed anything saying I'll stay with California for so many years.
I don't understand, number one, how it's enforceable. I don't understand. First of all, Adam and I discussed this before. You can't sign a contract that would be enforceable for 7 years in California. Yet you're going to say, I'm going to follow you for 10 years and take your earnings, which to me is an unlawful taking. I would think unconstitutional. But it just shows you the idiocy. Apparently, and this is both on the federal and the state level, this idea, I mean, you see the chairman of the Federal Reserve saying we're going to just digitally print a currency to get our way out of this mess. You can't do that. Economically, it makes no sense. And Newsom can't chase everybody out of California who are high earners and then figure, well, how's he going to pay for anything?
Well, you know, it was funny. I heard the other day that the mayor of Los Angeles, Eric Garcetti.
The next director of HUD.
God willing. I think he studied at like the Cambridge School.
Rhodes Scholar.
Right. So like the school, Cambridge, like School of Economics, but he was a Chicano studies major. So it's like,
So by that logic, your mom can run HUD.
I know. My mom is a Chicano studies major. My mom is wider than Tom Petty. But Tom Petty's more vital. Actually, than my mom at this point.
At the moment?
Yeah, at the moment.
Isn't today the 3-year anniversary of his passing?
Oh, it is. Or close to it. Yeah, I mean, I thought I saw something online. All right. So should we do a little blah, blah, blah? Mark, have you been briefed on blah,
I haven't
blah,
been
blah,
briefed. Blah. My experience with blah, blah, blah is I took a course in college. You had to take various units, and there was an art history professor. And he was old as dust, but he was brilliant. And he used to give these lectures, and then at the end he would just say, and furthermore, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. That's my experience with blah, blah, blah.
Well, this is blah, blah, blog, and these are blowhard celebrities that are blogging. We have an intro, Chris.
It's time for blah, blah, blog. The game where we match the celebrity with their retarded online rant. Let's play.
You may represent many of these people, Mark. So this could be difficult.
Yeah, this is a very dangerous game for me to play.
All right.
So these are all celebrity Trump COVID reactions.
Oh, this is going to be good.
Gee. Woke up this morning to learn Donald and Melania have tested positive for COVID-19. How can a hoax infect anyone? That's a new one on me. I'm sure he's taking the Clorox cocktail because it's so unpleasant. Thoughts and prayers. Is it Bette Midler? Mm. Joy Behar? Or Chelsea Handler?
Mm. Oh, okay.
Mm. Tough. I talked to our friend, Dr. Drew, today for quite some time, sort of gave his medical opinion on the Trump situation. He said Trump probably going to be fine in a few days, but Chris Christie probably not.
I don't know if everybody's aware, because the latest is not only did he test positive, but they immediately took him to the hospital.
Yeah.
Because he's not only... he's got some weight challenges.
Right.
He also has asthma.
Right.
Has had, I believe, some other pre-existing condition. He's definitely at risk.
And to make things even worse, he was being rushed to the hospital, and the bridge was closed. So he couldn't get to the...
Of all the
too
luck.
Soon. Too soon. Too soon. But someone had to make
he's
that
still,
joke.
He's not... joining Tom Petty.
All right. Well, either way, Drew was not worried about Trump, but definitely worried about
Drew's
Chris Christie.
Not worried about Trump.
No. He said he kind of understands. He's played it out in his mind. He thinks he'll be fine in a couple of days. He did a kind of a thing, but he said Chris Christie, not feeling that confident
about. I wish I had that conversation. I was very interested in, he took an experimental antibody cocktail of 8 grams, which some doctors were opining was crazy. Others were saying, no, it isn't. But the manufacturer was apparently in close contact, and it was a clinical trial, I think, post-phase 3. So I would love to hear what Drew had to say.
What if it gave him superpowers? And he was able just to rule for the next 1,000 years with his laser vision. All right. This is not very funny,
right.
But neither is Joy Behar, right? Like, and or I gotta think if this is I always
it doesn't
pray
have
it's, yes.
It doesn't have a Chelsea Handler bite.
You hope it'd be a little funnier, and it didn't say anything about her tits, so.
Yeah, I'm crossing off Chelsea.
I am too. I'm going with Bette Midler.
So am I, because I mean,
Bette Midler.
I'm going
okay.
with that.
All right.
I find Bette Midler's tweets to be generally funny and clever. I guess the only one I can cross off is Bette. So then it's a coin flip between Joy and Chelsea. I'll go Chelsea Handler.
Wow.
Interesting.
Oh. Gina.
This tweet is very Yenta-like. Mm. So it's either Bette or Joy. Bette's not a comedian, and this isn't a funny tweet. So I'm saying Bette.
All right. What do we got? Three Bettes and one Chelsea?
Three Bettes and one Chelsea.
All right.
Blog belongs to Bette Midler.
Yeah. Disappointers never disappoint.
The president's arrogant, cynical, irresponsible denial of the deadly disease he now has is the most devastating self-own in human history. People I know have died. People I love are sick. I'm sorry you're sick too, real Donald Trump, but shame on you for your ignorance and your lethal incompetence that has led to so many unnecessary deaths that you will never acknowledge, let alone take responsible for. Stay safe.
Oh, wait, that's a definite. Is that Alyssa Milano?
she's a perennial. She's a fan favorite. She's always shoehorned in there somewhere. She's like Mark Ruffalo, Alyssa Milano. They're perennial all stars. Here we go.
Is it Chris Evans?
Ooh.
Bradley Whitford. Ooh. Or Alyssa Milano?
Damn it.
I want you to know, I didn't even know what this game
Use
was.
Use the microphone.
I didn't even know what this game was.
How much Don Julio have you consumed?
Not enough. And there's, and by the way, where's the owner, who's a wonderful guy? Stock 1942 next time. Okay, clearly.
What are you drinking? What are you drinking, Mark?
It's Patron.
Patron. Patron. All right. Well, you got to slow it.
It's the poor man's tequila.
Okay. All right. Well, this is this. I gotta say, like, I'm such a douche. I was watching CNN before I came here in my hotel room, and they were running through the folks that we have lost to COVID-19, and they did this one thing where it's like he's from Baton Rouge. He's a truck driver. He's always known for a smile and sense of humor. And then they do this thing where they go, he left behind, you know, three children. 11 grandchildren and 15 great, and I'm like, if you have great grandchildren, we're done with you, right? Like, I feel bad, but if you have great, if you make it to great grandkids, you've had a pretty good run. Pretty good run. Pick a guy who was like a high school soccer star and he was 19. My heart goes out. All right, so listen, Garrigus, you got to go with Alyssa Milano because you.
That has all the earmarks of Alyssa Milano.
Right. So it's weird that
Brad Whitford, I don't know. It's a little screechy for Brad Whitford.
What? Give it to us again, Dawson.
The blog itself is the president's arrogant, cynical, irresponsible denial of the deadly disease he now has is the most devastating cell phone in human history. People I know have died. People I love are sick. I'm sorry you're sick too, real Donald Trump, but shame on you for your arrogance and your lethal incompetence that has led to so many unnecessary deaths that you will never acknowledge, let alone take responsibility for. Stay safe.
I'm going to go with Captain Blowhard. I mean, America. Sorry, Captain America.
Wow.
Yeah, Chris. Okay. Brian, Gina?
I got Chris Evans, too.
Chris Evans?
The cell phone thing feels a little younger.
Cell phone.
Well, he said self-own.
Self-own. Yeah, like that's a good. That's a very good clue.
Yeah, it's self-own. He's not the greatest cell phone of all time.
He's the greatest
Brian, I was thinking the exact same thing. Self-owned was the thing that kind of stopped me in my tracks. It has to go to the youngest person. However, Bradley Whitford does not hold back on Twitter.
No, he does not.
And if he got a little help from maybe one of the kids, I'm going to go Bradley.
Okay, so we got Chris, we got Brandon. We're covered across the board. Here we go.
The blog belongs to Bradley Whitford.
Damn it!
It's
my first thought, and then I went to Chris.
You can always go with your gut.
All right, Gina. That was you, right, Gina?
That was me.
Good call. All right.
Excellent call, Gina.
There's a crying need. There's a crying need for civility across the board. We need to and will come together in the name of Jesus. I'm praying for President Trump's and Melania's full recovery.
Oh, Bill Maher! Bill Maher!
Just as I would for Joe and Jill Biden if they were stricken, as well as everyone else with COVID-19. Is it Justin Bieber?
Any of the Duck Dynasty guys?
Chris Pratt?
Ooh.
Or Kanye West?
Ooh. Oh, boy, this is tough.
This is really difficult.
This is tough because they're all religious. They all kind of fade in and out of religion. It could be any of the three here.
I don't know. It's a little coherent for Kanye.
A little coherent.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Right.
And I say that loving Kimmy K, my Armo daughter.
Wait a minute. Is that racist? Is that like well-spoken? You know what I mean? He's a little racist.
Now he's having his mental health challenges.
Okay. All right.
Beavers, nah.
No.
It doesn't ring, so it's got to be Pratt.
Well, Pratt's religious, and Pratt, but I don't know, does he make a lot of proclamations? Like, I feel like
his job is sort of keep
his head down, go into the next Guardians of the Galaxy thing, and don't get bumped or kicked off a.
But isn't that consistent with the message of come together?
It is, but sometimes even saying come together can get you into trouble.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Biebs on this one, Gina.
Wow.
I agree with my buddy Mark. Kanye would have added something about how he's going to be the next president and he'll take care of COVID.
Touche,
Justin's
Gina.
Too busy having the best model sex of his life. I'm
He has replaced Leonardo.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Chris Pratt.
The phrase, a crying need, is so outdated and so weird. There's no way Kanye has that in his vocabulary. I can't
Wait,
see.
Is that racist?
Yes, it probably was. There's no way that Justin Bieber, is there any way that he would say that? I'm going to go with Chris Pratt.
Yeah, I think it's between those two. Here we go.
The blog belongs to Kanye West.
Oh!
That's what I get.
This is why you have to play the game.
A crying need.
Christ.
Wow.
Wow. And I would get in trouble if I said somebody else wrote it for him, too.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Wow. Got to play the game. What's the score here? What do we got?
We got Adam with one, Mark with one. Brian with zero, Gina with two.
Ooh, oh, Gina.
All right.
Gina. She certainly does have two. I'll tell you that,
Thank you.
She's got a couple, yeah.
You ain't lying. You're not
Gina,
lying.
Gina is my Wonder Woman.
Oh, Mark, I can prove it. I still have my Mark Garagus Wonder Woman necklace.
Look at that.
I never take it off.
I gave it to her. I think she's better looking than Wonder Woman and smarter.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not the Don Julio talking.
Yeah.
It's not. He's got Cuervo. He can't get the.
I can't. I got Patron.
He can't get the Julio. All right,
man's agave.
Are we going to the championship rounds now? Here we go.
Okay, fine. I'll pray for him and the wife on one condition: not mild symptoms, and they each go on a ventilator for at least 5 days. That's my best and final offer. Is it Kathy Griffin?
Ooh.
Stephen King? Or Rob Reiner?
Ooh.
A lot of range here.
Yeah.
I
think I eliminate Stephen King.
Yeah, how though? Or not how, but why?
I just don't think he would say go on the ventilator. Right. That's got, if that rings.
Wait a minute. Aren't you the guy who eliminated Kanye West 10 seconds ago and us all over?
Yeah, but.
Okay.
Kanye, I think the problem is I don't think Kanye wrote that. I'm gonna double down. Yeah, this has got Kathy, but it's Kathy. It's got to be Kathy.
So, you know, Rob is, a bit of a zealot, and I know he hates Trump, but he's also a gentleman. He's a very nice human being. So this seems Mark spilled a little ice in there. Hey, can we freshen up this guy's round? He hasn't had a drop of tequila in a minute and 21 seconds.
Well, can I talk about Salt Lake City? I was here for 3 months. And one of the problems with Salt Lake City is when you order a drink, it comes in 1 ounce. And it literally is like backwash. And
I got some, too. Thank you.
A little local material, Mark.
Yeah. So I literally just stopped drinking. I said it was more of a pain in the ass. And they got rules. They've got all these rules. Sir, no, sir, you can't have another. I said, why can't I have another? You've had two in 90 minutes. I said, what?
Right.
And two in 90 minutes apparently cuts you off and you have to have a timeout for the next hour and a half.
Oh, wow.
I've never had a timeout from drinking. So I said, forget it. I'll just stop drinking.
It's like, we went to the, well, here's a bad sign. It's kind of like in the 70s when you were with a rock band and you were strung out on heroin, and you're doing a European tour, and you had to figure out, like, who's going to supply
gonna get
my
the
shit
smack,
in
right?
Copenhagen, right? I can't just fucking fly to Copenhagen for a week. I got to get my shit. And so when I go to Salt Lake City, I got to go, how's this booze work? Because I got to figure this shit out. I'm going to get caught over there with my pants down. So we rolled into the Red Iguana today, and I was like, what's the booze situation here? Because I got to know. And they're like, because I'll hop the fence and go to the empty swimming pool and get a natty light from that dude out there smoking the camels if I have to. But I want to know what the rules are. And they're like, well, we can give you a drink. We got up to 2 ounces of alcohol.
Oh, you got 2 ounces?
That's what I said. I didn't know it was 2 ounces.
Every place I've been is 1 ounce. Here is 1 ounce.
Yeah.
And then if you go to a really where they're pushing the limit, they'll give you a 1.5.
They said 2 ounces of booze in your drink. Well, also they have these the bizarre dates on the calendar, like after Arbor Day. After Arbor Day. Yeah. Then we can open up the vault. You know, you get as much as you want. Like, it's just logic. So they have this thing where it's like, we can do 4% we can do 4% alcohol beer, and then once the leaves start changing, we can do 4.5. So if you're facing Mecca, we can get up to 5.0. If your bar stool's facing Mecca, look, just give us a booze. So they said at the Red Iguana, I said, two ounces. I said, fine, we'll do that. And they said, but you can't order a second drink.
Right.
And I said, ever? And they said, no, just at the same time, you can't. And I said, well, what do I need? Two margaritas in my hand and somebody feeding me chips? Like, how big an alcoholic do you think I am? I'll fucking finish the one and then I'll order the next. So we were confused because the last time we were here, we went out to like the German Boot or something and we got a bunch of German Polish food and they had their own weird rules around a martini. This time, not so much. So I don't know
what
has changed.
I'm staying at the hotel. They cut you off at 10 o'clock, but they're perfectly willing to send a full bar up to your room and let you party up there. So I don't understand what the point is. I'm always looking at what's the policy angle here. I understand the policy angle if it's to drive you into not drinking, because it worked. I've been for 3 months. I just said, no more booze. It's too much trouble. I can't follow the rules. It's too complex. I mean, it's really kind of a constitutional, like, issue spotting on a bar exam. You can have one drink of 1 ounce, two drinks of 3.5 ounce, but then you're cut off for another 90 minutes. Makes no sense.
Well, I don't know how it works, but either way, we flew on Mark's jet, so I packed my own booze. I'm like, fuck it. Packing my own booze. I'm not taking chances. All right. All right, so wait a minute. Wait, did we do this one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are we doing?
I say Kathy Griffin. I've known Kathy Griffin for 30 years. This feels like Kathy Griffin. Mark, are you?
Totally. I'm there. It's got to be Kathy. I mean, maybe Rob, but it's got the Kathy holding Trump's head decapitated.
Gina?
Feel to it.
See, this is where I may lose, but it doesn't feel Rob. I'm apt to say it's very grim. And, who is in charge? Who is the grandfather of Grimm, if not Stephen King?
And also,
he's talking about ventilators. It's darkly humorous in a way. Okay, I'll pray, but only if they've been on a ventilator for 5 days. Very well thought out for a novelist.
And also, you have to go, what is he doing up there? You know what I mean? Like, who's designing this game? Kathy, you'd expect to see up there.
Why is Stephen King?
Right.
I hadn't thought of that.
Rob, you'd expect to see up there. You wouldn't miss Stephen King.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I've been burned by that logic many times.
Yeah, well, I've never played the game before, but it reeks of Kathy.
Gina, you're going with Stephen.
It feels Kathy, but I mean, I'm going with Stephen King.
Okay.
Wow. You got two wins already under your belt.
I agree. It just does not feel very Rob Reiner. I'm going to have different logic here. I think Kathy's a little gun shy from the controversy with the severed head. And Stephen King is fucking vicious on Twitter. He gives no fucks. He holds back no fucks.
Oh, really?
I'm going to say Stephen King.
Wow. Did not know
that. Bald and Gina have made pretty compelling arguments.
Compelling.
Yeah, better than Gavin Newsom.
Compelling indeed, but the blog belongs to Kathy Griffin.
Yeah! Oh! Yeah!
Oh, ho, ho, ho,
ho, ho, ho. Wow, are we knotted up 2-2 and 2 and then bald here?
And then bald.
All right, so let's do this. I think it's 2-2-2. Bald's got one, right? So
what did Bald? What'd you get? Which one?
Oh, zero. Sorry,
I got jack shit.
All right, I'm round.
But Bald, I'll give you this. Your arguments have been very compelling to me.
They're very compelling.
This is the real twist of the game. Is I give great convincing arguments and then miss
every
time.
I'm telling you, Bald, you missed your calling. You give compelling arguments that make me think.
No, he is like a crazy inventor who pulls the sheet off a flying machine and says, "I call it the propellula." And they go, "How's it go to the moon?" And then he gets in and fires it up, and a fart comes out and it falls over. But
no time for questions. Join me.
He's insanely compelling, and you know what? You'll get burned if you listen to him.
Yeah, you
never burned,
listen to
me.
He burns
I got burned,
himself.
Listen to me.
Right. All right. We got 2-2-2-0. I was just throwing you a mercy fuck there, Brian, with your one. But all right, he's got zero. So why don't we do, this is a championship round.
Yep. This is it?
All right. We'll let the ladies go first. Gina, we'll let you pick first. Mark,
Thank
you're
you.
The guest. You
the
pick
ladies?
Second. I'll take the sloppy That's, thirds. Whoever's okay. left over, wow. that'll be our picks. Here
okay.
we go.
Okay.
Actually, I'm angry. I'm angry at the way Trump mocked masks, how his children refused to wear them, even at the debate, how they've held rallies and put so many at risk, how reporters for the White House are now coming down with it. It's a pattern of callous, gross negligence. I'm angry.
I know this one.
Wait, can we give Dawson some kudos? Because
yes.
that was a reading.
Great. A lot of gravitas.
I mean, that reading was, it was both compelling also and emotional.
Yes.
That pathos.
Is it George Takei?
Mm. Oh.
Deborah Messing?
Ooh.
Ooh.
Or Josh Gad?
Ooh.
Wow.
Wow.
I don't know if anyone has an advantage here. I don't know if you... Yeah. Gina, this, you going first is
yeah.
not an advantage.
Yeah, I want to hear Gina. Yeah. Wait, maybe Bald should go first. Make the argument.
Bald
we'll know
is out.
Yeah.
All right, I got.
Bald
I have a
is
pick.
As out as Don Julio is.
There is. Why is there a 1942
He's
crisis?
He's been mathematically eliminated. Turn the page.
First round draft pick, number one draft pick next year.
Yeah. All right, Gina.
All right, I am going by the first word. Of the blog. No man in the history of Earth has ever started a phrase with, actually, and not just because Deborah and I are wearing the same color in that picture.
That's right.
I think that this is a woman. From the word actually, in this way, actually, I'm angry. That could be the story of my autobiography, the title. Mm-hmm. I think that is a woman through and through. I'm going Deborah Messing.
All right. Mark?
God, I can't say what I want to say.
We know really? We know what you're thinking,
I feel like
Mark.
You've been doing a George pretty good job.
Yeah, I know. But George Takei, and we could talk about self-identifying or identifying gender, and that would undercut Gina's argument.
I did Celebrity Apprentice with him.
Yeah.
And I spent a lot of time in an extendo van with George Takei, who I used to call George Takei.
No.
But Jimmy gave me a very clever way to remember. He was like, George Takei, as in gay. And I was like, oh, yeah, now I got it. Because I was like, George Takei, as in bi. But he's not bi, he's gay. So, George Takei, you will rue the day. Any of you, if you're ever in front of George Takei, who does nothing but talk about Japanese American internment camps, that's all.
He's as fixated as I am on the Armenian genocide, right?
He is living in 1941 in Southern California. That's what he's doing.
That's Santa Anita.
He's just as fixated as you are on the Armo genocide.
Exactly.
He is with the. But do not ever make this mistake. If you say, yes, Japanese internment camps, he will go Japanese American internment camps, meaning those were Americans they were interning, not Japanese citizens. So don't ever flub that in front of that, and don't get into the Armo genocide. Don't ever call it, what do they call it?
Well, when they say Turkish genocide, it drives me crazy.
Don't do that.
It wasn't. The Turks were the ones who committed the genocide.
It was not an ethnic cleansing. It was a genocide.
Yes, exactly.
All right. And so, Gina, you got Deborah.
Gina's got Deborah. Yeah. What do you say?
I'm going last, so I'm going to let you pick.
Okay. Gina, I'm with you, but given the fact, we talked about this on Reasonable Doubt, given the fact that our governor, I don't know if everybody's aware of this, a couple of you are, just signed a bill in California. Are you aware of this? That allows prisoners to self-identify their gender so that that means where they get to be housed, so that if you're a male, but you a biological male, and you now self-identify,
you can go into a women's prison.
You can go into the women's prison.
It's going to destroy the whole genre of movies, Deaths Behind Bars. Going to see some dude with his big dick swinging around in the shower. My
but
kid's got to grow up with that.
I'm a woman. Hear me roar.
Right. I was saying to that, if in fact we can now self-identify and figure out what prison we can go into, how long before we can just self-identify as the warden? Are you a male or female? You make the call. I'm the fucking warden. Tell that old guy to get out of his office. I'm running this joint.
I granted myself parole. I'm gone.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, why not just go for the governor and just pardon yourself?
Yeah, all right. I self-identify as the governor.
Hey, Bob, that's good. I love it. I'm the governor. I identify.
All right.
Gina, very compelling, but I'm going with George.
You're going with George. I got Josh. I don't know what...
Nobody's batting for Josh.
Why is he on there? But I'm going with Josh.
Wow. Okay, this is it. Tiebreak.
Well, Gina was correct in her assumption that no man would begin a blog with, actually, and that no man is George Takei.
Oh.
Until next time, keep your fingers on your keyboards and your heads up your asses so we can play another round.
First time, never even heard of the game before, right here.
Always a competitor. You missed, Mark just did the Cabbage Patch dance. He literally did the Cabbage Patch.
Yeah, but you know, the last time I did that, I'll tell a little story. I was standing in court. I was. You think I'm kidding. This is the God's honest truth. I was in Department 100, Criminal Courts Building, downtown, standing up, addressing Judge Patty Schnegg. To my left was Chris Brown. You know who Chris Brown is?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay. And I was arguing that Chris's probation should be terminated for the Rihanna incident.
Sure.
And I was saying something to Her Honor, and Chris started to talk. And I get very angry when that happens. And without thinking, and this is on TV because she had allowed a TV camera in there, I said, you can Google this, it's on tape. I said, I don't dance, you don't talk. And then the judge said, well, Mr. Gargis, I want to see you dance. And I did a little. And I have never lived it down. My son was mortally embarrassed.
Oh, yes.
He was mortified.
To this day. All right. We will look for that clip. We will do the news with Gina Grad. First, let me take care of a sponsor here, Bruce. Yes, they actually packed the Bruce with me today. It's a beautiful, beautiful electric toothbrush. Dentist quality clean at home. Bruce, that's it's two U's, but it's done like B-R-O-O-S-H. I have it. I got it. I've had it for about 6 months now. Like I said, I use it. I think probably the best thing you can say about a product is when you're traveling and there's no restrictions because we're flying in a private jet, I took it with me. So that's all you need to know about how much I use this thing. Sonic Wave technology, 31,000 movements a minute, 100 times effective as manual brushing, and a good price tag, too. Refill plan, three replacement heads every 6 months, just $18. And they have six cleaning modes. Like, it goes off, and it has a timer on it. It has a four-week battery life, so you don't have to charge it all the time. Comes with a travel case. And you get 15% off with Bruce. You do the whole kit. Use the promo code Adam at Bruce.com. That's Bruush.com. Promo code Adam.
Well, hope you guys are enjoying the show. First, let me just take a moment to tell you about GEICO. I know. You want to know how much you could be saving on your auto insurance, you got to go with GEICO. And, well, Halloween's coming up. You know what's really scary? Seeing just how much you could have been saving on your car insurance by switching to GEICO, almost as scary as that homemade elf costume your mom made you wear in junior high school. GEICO can't erase the memory of tripping down the hallway in pointy shoes, but they can save you 15% or more on car insurance. Stop waking up at night in a cold sweat wondering what happened to that green onesie. Just switch to GEICO and save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. All right, let's get back to the show.
All right, should we do a little news, Gina Grad? Mark, hang
let's
out, crack-wise?
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral, all those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, lots to get to, but first I want to start with some breaking news that is coming over the wire right now. A very notable man in the criminal defense community is about to have a birthday. Ooh. It may not be Four Fingers of Don Julio 1942, but happy birthday from your Adam Carolla Show family, Mr. Mark Garagos.
Mark Garagos. Great Mark Garagos.
That's breaking. We love you.
We love
and
Mark.
Where better to be than Salt Lake City?
Yeah.
Are you? Which, by the way,
yeah,
I told Adam I had I ran into Brock Pierce, who's running for president. It's not one of the major parties. Had breakfast with him yesterday, I guess, and we were talking about what's going to happen, kind of prognosticating what's going to happen after the election. And his opinion was one of the best places in America to be on November 4th through November 9th is right here in Salt Lake City.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, they're building. God, there's a crane on every corner. Everything is just being built up. Again, I mean, I don't know what the Southwest schedule is, but if you got a private jet, no reason you shouldn't be living here. But you're not going back with us tomorrow.
I don't think I'm going back. I actually think I may stay here for my birthday on Monday. So,
all right,
By the way, he's talking red iguana. I have been to Red Iguana. I like the mole, but how many here like the blue iguana? I'm a fan of the blue iguana as well.
Ooh. Oh, wait, is that another? Because yeah. There's a Red Iguana too, but is that the blue iguana?
The Red Iguana's got, I guess, what they call the original. Then there's another one that's kind of fairly close, right?
Chongas.
Chongas?
Right.
Chimichanga? Oh, okay.
That's what he said.
I like blue iguana. It might be because they actually have 1942.
I was told that the red iguana had two owners that got into a feud, so one split off and started the blue iguana.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. I'm a big fan of partnership dissolutions. And
Well, not since Coney Island Dog in Detroit, where there's a Coney Island Dog. Have you been?
Oh, yeah.
There's Coney Island Dog that is here, and then 18 feet to the right, there's another Coney Island Dog because somebody got into a fight.
Well, and this is very sad, but we were talking about it on the way over. I think everybody in this room has probably seen the lawyer advertising for Celino Barnes.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just a Celino Barnes firm.
Steve just passed away yesterday on a, he was piloting his single engine. It wasn't a jet.
Wow.
Single engine, which is always, you never want to fly single engine. He and his niece died. And
God rest his soul. I didn't hear about that.
Yeah. But the ultimate irony, proving that God has got a wicked sense of humor, he and Celino have been in this death match partnership dissolution for the last 2 years. I mean, it has been scorched earth litigation like you wouldn't believe. And they're fighting over the phone number and the jingle, right?
888 million.
Yeah, they kept the jingle but changed the number.
Yeah, so what they finally resolved it, like within the last week or 10 days, that 1 week Celino gets it, 1 week Barnes gets it.
Wow.
And then a week later, Barnes goes down.
Custody over a jingle.
Over a jingle and a number. I mean, it's crazy, but, you know, God does have a weird sense of humor.
It was a catchy jingle. Celino and Barnes, injury attorneys, 888 million.
Yeah.
This is why I adore her.
When I grew up, there was Jacoby Myers.
Yeah.
Jacoby Myers.
Jacoby's still around. He has made a fortune off of licensing people for various jurisdictions in America can buy Jacoby and Myers referrals. So if you want California, there's 14 different county areas, and you pay Jacoby, and he gives you the referrals. And that's what he lives off. He hasn't worked in 20 years except to do the stupid commercials.
Why are lawyer commercials why are they such earworms? I haven't heard this commercial in 30 years in Kansas, but I'll always remember Rubens Case, Rubens Cambiano, and Bryant, 523-8700, their strength in our numbers. Why is that?
Because it's an artificially constructed deal. The lawyers, by bringing in cases, you can make more money than actually being a lawyer. If you can draw the case in and then refer them to somebody, then you get a payment, a referral fee, and you can make more money doing that. And so it beats working. I mean, it's basically an advertising.
Working smarter.
Right.
And it literally beats practicing law.
Right. But you would never, like we were, I think we were talking about Gloria Allred on the way in on your plane, sadly enough. And, you know,
it's a Gloria-free zone.
She never gets inside of a courtroom. Like, for you, you feel like you're a lawyer, you got to get inside of a courtroom, right?
I have this. My father was a lawyer. I always tell this joke that he was a hard-charging county prosecutor, homicide prosecutor, when I was growing up. I'm literally ages 1 to 13. I thought my first name was dumb, my middle name was shit, because that's what all he called me for the first 13 years of my life. But he was anti lawyer advertising or anything else or self-promotion or anything. And, I mean, he used to get mad at me for doing anything promoting. But I have that kind of built into the DNA. I think if you're going to be a lawyer, because it's not the easiest way to make a living. It's nowhere near the most lucrative. I mean, you can make great money, but if you go into business, I mean, there's guys doing hedge funds. There's guys doing now the big thing in the finance
industry. Bitcoin.
Yeah, Bitcoin. Right. SPACs. Right. SPACs, special purpose acquisition vehicles. Right. Though you can make a ton more money, but there's something about being in a courtroom. It's similar to being a comedian and why I think we're BFFs. You get immediate reaction. You can do material. You either get a laugh or you die. I can try a case to a jury. I get thumbs up or thumbs down.
You there's, either get a laugh or the guy you're representing dies.
Right, exactly. That's why I love her. It's true.
And in a sense, I think everyone is sort of trying to get away from things, but it's like trying to get away from exercise. Like, you just have to go out. You have to break a sweat. There's something pretty primal and basic about it. And I feel the same way.
When I watch the NBA, guys who want the ball in the fourth quarter when the game's on the line, Irving was talking about it, and right. LeBron was talking about it, about AD. There is a certain, it's all risk, all reward. And right. There is a certain, it keeps you alive.
I agree. All right, Gina, sir, where were we? Gina.
Well, I'd like to start out by something that we definitely could use a lawyer's point of view about. A California man who put his semen in a coworker's water bottle in her honey jar and on her computer has been convicted of assault and battery for sexual purposes. The Orange County Register says Stephen Milencastro of Palmdale over here in California was convicted of and must register as a sex offender. Prosecutors say he was obsessed with a coworker and tainted her water bottle, her food jar, and her computer after she filed a human resources complaint against him. He could get 2.5 years in jail.
How did she find out? And then how did he get the semen in there?
This honey tastes off.
When you take a swig from your bottle and then you yawn and a bubble comes out of your mouth, that's a bad sign. It's a bad sign. I'm here to tell you. I worked with a guy. I'll do my Gergas here, who shall remain nameless. But I did work with a guy who put his dick in my Snapple once and then put it back down on my desk. But it turns out it wasn't my Snapple. It was someone else's Snapple. So. But that is a far cry from this felon.
He left his calling card.
Wait, so reminds me of a case. This is a real case. Was prosecuted by a woman who's now a judge who will also remain nameless. My father nicknamed her Nose Job, and because he couldn't stand her face and the bad nose job. Anyway, she prosecuted this case.
Your dad sounds like a dick. Hey, shit for brains. Yeah, Nose Job over there is going to fucking destroy another case. Get your brother fuckwad. And listen to Monkey Nipples, your mom over there. Did he call anyone by their name?
So Nose Job prosecuted this case, and it was a doctor who was accused of rape. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the defense to this case was, my buddy tried it, and he won it. He got a not guilty. The defense was, she said she was assaulted and raped by this doctor. And I believe, I don't remember what the factual situation was, but his defense was, he got up in the stand and says, no, I had gone to the doctor. I was trying to have kids with my wife. And I was shooting blanks or something. So he asked me for a semen sample. And I had done what I had to do. And I had collected the semen. And I'd put it in the refrigerator to take it to him. And this woman who was accusing me, I believe, had taken that semen, implanted it in herself, and then went and got a rape kit. Jury found him not guilty in 20 minutes.
Oh, really?
Not guilty in 20 minutes. What? Absolute God's honest truth.
Yeah, well, you
and
know.
And Noah's job never recovered.
You guys have all been in that place where you're running with a tumbler of jizz, and you hit a roller skate.
Wait, so this is the jizz defense?
The fucking rogue roller skate, you got the chalice of jizz, and the next thing you know... But I want to know how she knew, and I want to know how he, you know, artificially inseminated that Sparklets bottle.
Well, you take, well, remember, it was also on her keyboard, on her computer.
Oh,
well, that's easy to spill.
Once you look at the computer, you put the T down.
Oh, okay. All right. So he's a registered sex offender.
Yeah,
now,
I could get 2.5 years for that mm-hmm. stunt. So let that be a lesson to you.
Right.
A school teacher whose body, face, and tongue are covered in tattoos and who has the whites of his eyes surgically blacked out, he was mad because he was prevented from teaching kindergarten after a parent complained that he scared their children. There's his picture right there. So the teacher, Sylvain Helene,
could you imagine, like, who's your kindergarten teacher? Pinhead?
Black Panther?
Hellbound? Jesus Christ. Ugh.
So he says that he was teaching kindergarten when the parents of a 3-year-old child complained that their son was having nightmares.
You know who I blame? I'll tell you who I blame for this.
This is in France.
Okay. There used to be a place for visually unemployable people. And that was video rental stores. Remember that?
Oh, Blakesy.
You go to the video rental place and see the human snake with the tattoo and the huge fucking piercings and the mohawk and everything. So the dregs, the people that weren't employable in any other capacity could always find gainful employment at the video store. And then we got rid of the fucking video store and these people are just scattered to the wind. And now there are kindergarten teachers. You know what we need to do? They do that thing where they go, like, we don't really need the post office. Like, well, just subsidize it because we can't have it go away. Government should be subsidizing video stores. Like, nobody's renting. Yes, but we need a place for the crazed tattoo people to go. They need jobs.
You know, it's interesting. The demise of Blockbuster and the rise of Psychos and, mm-hmm. and Thursday Guy. I've got it together.
This wasn't so much Blockbuster. This was the corner.
Like the strip center.
The mom and the pop.
North Hollywood. Every strip center.
That had the porno section.
Had the beads.
The beads. Yeah. There was one that had the porno section.
Good.
Up on a foothill or whatever, and I used to live in.
Yeah, right. It's right by the subway.
Yeah, right by the subway. They used to. No, yeah.
I saw you there once. Yeah. We went through the beads and we bumped into each other.
No, this one had the western doors. And I don't like the ones that. Why? First off, I used to crawl under those western doors. I didn't want to make an entrance. You know what I mean? There's a new.
We're going to clean up this town.
Yeah. There's only enough room in the busty department for one of us. The Dalton boys are going to be here to beat off on First Son. There's a new sheriff. Anyway, the point is these people could find jobs at those. Oh, and the other places they could find jobs were the independent record stores. So you could do the video stores,
Rhino
or you could
Records
do the
Rhinos. Or
you
the,
could do. Wait, what was the one?
The one in Pasadena that was there forever on Foothill.
Right. There's one in an old town, and so there's on Melrose. There's always these. So the independent record places and the video, the non-chain,
but
independent
it wasn't just
video
tatted
places.
Up. It was also pierced up.
But just unemployable, right. Unemployable, and that's where they would go.
Yeah.
So they had a place to work.
Well,
and
you're not
going to
put them as a
kids.
Hostess at, or a host at, like, the Red Onion.
Yeah, they can't. They're unemployable now. Sorry, Gina.
The argument he was making was he said maybe when they're adults, they'll be less racist and less homophobic and more open-minded because I'm teaching them how to accept people who are different from the norm. There is a happy ending. That's one way to look at it. He's no longer allowed.
Rhode Island massage parlor.
Yeah.
He's no longer allowed to teach kindergartners, only second grade and up.
Oh. It's a good compromise.
Wait, Gina, how old do you have to be in second grade? What is that, seven?
That's seven, right?
Seven or eight, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. Perfect sense.
All right, one more, Gina Grad.
One more. Okay, let me make sure it's a good one. Here, you know, I know you have a special affinity, Adam, for Mountain Dew.
Yes.
And because of that,
Nectar of the Tards, I've dubbed it.
I want to make sure that this is on your radar because we have a lot of, we talked about how Kraft macaroni and cheese is now essentially branding itself as a breakfast cereal. I mean, the world's going to hell in a handbasket.
Right.
I'd like to introduce you to Do the Dew Hot Sauce. Whoa. The makers of Mountain Dew are not going to be satisfied until that bright yellow soda is injected into every food, drink, condiment. Following attempts at marrying the Dew with Doritos and margaritas, PepsiCo is now injecting it into hot sauce. Mountain Dew is teaming up with hot sauce store Iburn and the NBA star, is it Joel Embiid? E-M-B-I-D.
Embiid, yeah, the Embiid. Sixer, Philadelphia Sixers,
right?
Yeah.
To develop
Embiid,
a new hot
Embiid,
sauce.
Right. Yeah, sorry.
And fans in Dew Nation are being asked to name the new spicy sauce, so there is a Mountain Dew hot sauce. If anyone feels their IQ is a little high, be on the lookout for that coming to shelf soon.
I thought Dew Nation was San Francisco, California, because couldn't step out onto the sidewalk without stepping in some bum dew. Also, evidently, there is nothing you can't put on a Dorito that doesn't make it better somehow. It will accept any offering. You put anything on top of a Dorito, and somehow it works. I don't... Yes.
Absolute genius.
To me, Dorito are Doritos. Like, they're Dorito flavored. The Dorito is a Dorito flavor. It's not Mountain Dew Doritos or Honey Ranch Doritos or... Yes.
But I can understand Doritos. A Cool Ranch
cool
and
ranch.
A nacho cheese and yeah. a Dorito. That's kind of... But I saw yesterday Buffalo Wing and then some other... I don't know. It was a... What's the other one, Gina, that they've got just recently? They rolled out. Yeah, Doritos. Just rolled it out.
I got to tell you, yeah.
Co-worker semen.
Yeah.
Extra salty.
Yeah. Bald is on a roll.
Bald is on a roll, everybody. Yes, and I must say, I'm the same with Pringles. Like, I understand that Pringles are essentially not a potato chip, but they still, you get the Cool Ranch.
Yeah.
Or you get the onion, you get the onion dip one,
I'll
or whatever.
Take the
it's
onion
good.
Dip. Right,
it's fucking good. I don't want to sound like white trash, but it's true. All right, Gina, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina, that was the news with Gina Grad.
I'm told we have Mark's dance video from inside the courtroom, everybody.
Yay. This is our big closer.
It's a big closer. There's Chris. There's Mark.
We might want to make that report maybe a week later in January.
I don't think it changes the travel dates. I think he's just being inclusive.
He's going to be traveling.
Yeah. I don't dance either.
But we would like to see you dance, Mr. Garrett.
They always ask for it.
I don't dance. You don't talk. It's out there. All right. I'm going to bid adieu to Mark Garagos, everybody, for coming in here and crushing it. Oh, the podcast, Reasonable Doubt. Sure. Saturdays on Apple Podcast One. You can find it as well. The book, Mistrial, available now on Amazon. Audiobook voiced by our own Dawson. And shoot him a tweet at Mark Garagos. Mark Garagos, everybody. Gina Bald, another stellar job. Thank you very much. I'm going to just close out the show with the last 15 minutes of Adam Carolla's Unprepared. So you guys just shout out something, and I will do a stand-up bit on that. Thanks, Mark. We'll see you. We'll see you backstage. Enjoy. Enjoy your tequila. All right. All right, so you guys go ahead and shout out one word. Buffaloes. Do you hear someone yell out buffaloes? All right, let's go with buffaloes. Never done buffaloes before. First off, my kids would make horrible American Indians because after we hunted and killed a buffalo, my kids would be like, yeah, I want about 3% of the buffalo. And then I'd go, wait a minute, we're proud Indian people. We use all of the buffalo. And they'd go, yeah, we're tired of buffalo. We want antelope. And I'd go, no, no, we're proud American Indian people. We use all of the buffalo. And they'd go, yeah, tell the nanny. Tell the nanny we want to call Grubhub and have P.F. Chang's brought over to the teepee. We're not into all of the buffalo. And I can't figure out, by the way, I can't figure out if buffalo are nice or dangerous. Because on one hand, they seem to charge people and hurt people. And then on the other hand, they seem super friendly and kind of lovable. Also, in terms of posture, don't buffalo have the worst posture? Like, don't you think they need to go to a chiropractor? Or maybe they have low self-esteem? I don't know. I feel like I would be a good buffalo, because I'm always just like, I don't know. Let's let an Indian shoot me and skin me and wear my pelt. I'm too tired to run with a herd. But I do, you know, the difference, if you really think about the difference between American Indians and white people, American Indians followed herds of buffalo on a horse, killed the buffalo with an arrow, like a bow and arrow that they made, or a lance that they made, you know, tools that they made, and they followed the herd. Then once they got to the buffalo, and once they killed the buffalo, they'd skin the buffalo, they'd say a prayer over the buffalo, because they felt like we're all just sort of communing with nature here, and it's all one big Hakuna Matata kind of circle of life thing. So they'd say a prayer over the buffalo, and then they'd use every part of the buffalo. They'd use the skin, they'd make a teepee, or they'd make a shawl out of the skin. I don't know if Indians had shawls, but they seemed like shawls. They'd eat all the buffalo. They'd make the pemmican out of it. They'd make, like, the jerky. They'd use the bones, you know, to make arrowheads and shit. And white people, conversely, used to like to sit on trains, go through the prairie, and shoot buffalo for fun. That's what Whitey did. Didn't stop the train, didn't get off the train, didn't eat the buffalo, didn't skin the buffalo. Just rode down on an Amtrak, sat in a fucking diner car, and shot the buffalo for shits and giggles. And that's why we're number one. We don't need your stinking buffalo. We shoot buffalo for fun. Yeah, if you take a culture where they go, they use every part of the buffalo, I go, oh yeah, those guys are losers. We order like a double stuffed cheese pizza, meat lovers, baconator, have two bites and throw the shit out the window. That's what we do. We waste shit. We drive around in a Denali that holds seven people alone and leave it running because we want to hear the radio and we like the air conditioning. That's what we do. We fucking leave the air on while we're out of town. We leave the ceiling fan running because we like the sound of it. That is a bitch, and we're getting there now. Are you guys getting there now? You know that thing where you have, like, the whole summer, and it's hot as shit, so you got the ceiling fan going in your bedrooms, like, And then at some point, it starts getting cold outside, and your wife's like, we got to shut the ceiling fan. And you're like, I need that sound. You don't get it. Otherwise, I got to listen to your ass breathe. Not down with that. I need to whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. Not you and your fucking in and out. That is unacceptable. So now it's into the 30s at night. You got the fucking ceiling fan on high. Then you tell your wife, and I've had this with my wife. I'm like, just fucking get a comforter or something. Get a fucking duvet cover. Like, pull some shit over yourself. You'll live. My wife's like, I'm cold. I'm like, how can you be cold? You have a down comforter over you. And then she goes, my forehead gets cold. I'm like, your forehead gets cold. My forehead doesn't have nerve endings. You could put a cigarette out on my forehead. I would not wake up. Don't tell me your fucking forehead's cold. My forehead's cold. My feet are cold. Okay. But you need the sound, right? Like I'm looking at the couple. You can't get off that fucking sound, right? All right. What were we talking about? Buffalo? Fucking Bills beat my Rams last week. God damn it. All right, what else we got?
Piranha.
Piranha. Wow, we're full Marlon Perkins here. We're deep into the animal kingdom. That's a deep cut, man. You guys got to Google Marlon Perkins. He used to host a show called Animal Kingdom, Mutual of Omaha's Animal Kingdom. And he got all the credit, Marlon Perkins did, because he was like an old guy with had some salt and pepper and a mustache, and he'd be wearing a safari outfit. Remember the safari outfit? Like, I'm going on safari. I got an outfit. But so his whole thing is he'd be back in studio going, the elusive Black Mamba, the world's deadliest snake. And then he'd take all this credit, but meanwhile his partner Jim was the one who was wrestling with it out in the African swamp. So he was fucking sitting around at the Disney studios getting his dick sucked. His buddy Jim was out there wrestling a fucking hyena in the Serengeti, and he was the one who was getting all the credit. Piranha. Piranha's a great movie. There's a movie about piranhas. I don't know. I spent my childhood, like, if you would have said to me when I was 9, Adam, how are you going to die? I would have went, well, either quicksand or piranhas. As far as I can tell, now, obviously it's prostate cancer, right? But that... A piranha's going to eat your prostate. But when I was a kid, I thought I was for sure going to be eaten by either piranhas or I was going to go into quicksand. Because from all the TV shows I watched from 0 to 9, that's the way, that was your demise if you're a white dude. Now, piranha's a scary fish that lives in the, Amazon. They're in the Amazon, right? And they're in the Amazon River, and that's fine. But it also is a good name for anything that cuts shit, right? So you could have a piranha circular saw. You could have a piranha kitchen knife, piranha scissors, piranha. You know what they should? Somebody should have the balls to name a vibrator the piranha. Ladies, this isn't going to stimulate your vagina. It's going to annihilate it. This will be the last vibrator you ever buy. And not because it's durable. You will die the first time you use the piranha. We'll get like a celebrity spokesperson. Hi, I'm Kathy Ireland. First name that came to mind. You guys ever pull the vibrator out on a lady? Let me give you some advice. You can't go shopping for a vibrator. You can't wave it around. You can't have a lot of pomp and circumstance around the vibrator. You want to use the vibrator on your lady, you got to hide that vibrator. Now, the way to do it is you slide the vibrator in between the mattress and the box spring. And you don't say anything about it. And she'll be lulled to sleep by the dulcet tones of the ceiling fan. And then you get out there and you start going to town, piranha style, on your lady friend. And at a certain point, you reach for that vibrator like you're at a poker game and someone's cheating and you go for your derringer. Single shot. You just reach for your boot. You pull that thing out under the table, and then at some point you incorporate it into the lovemaking. And if you're real good, you will use the vibrator not on her, but on yourself. Now, I know what you're thinking. That sounds queer. Not in a gay way. How would you use the vibrator on yourself when you're engaging in oral activities with your lady? Well, I'm not saying put it up your own ass. Although, if you have an extra. I'm saying put it on your own cheek. Your mouth will turn into a fucking auctioneer's mouth. Ladies, you ever have an auctioneer go down on you? You'll climax in 10 seconds. What the fuck were we talking about? Huh? Piranha. The piranha. Yes, put that vibrator on your own cheek. Yeah, it'd be like... It'll be like an auctioneer with epilepsy went down on you. All right, let's do one more. Who? What? Rockabilly? Rockabilly. Did you say rockabilly? Okay, rockabilly. I've never done rockabilly. Okay, so rockabilly. All right, so my thing. I don't know. Rockabilly. I don't know why. We have rock. I don't get why we need rockabilly, but we have rockabilly. That's fine. I feel sorry for all rockabilly guys. The reason I feel sorry, and I feel sorry for any guy who declares a major, you know what I mean, in terms of the look and the garb, you know what I mean? What you want to be is, you want to be like this dude. I got a shirt. It's got buttons. Fuck off. That's my look. My look is, I have shirts with buttons. Fucking blow me. That's the look. That's the look. Because when you go like full steampunk, right? When you like declare major, like I'm going punk, I'm going steampunk, I'm going rockabilly, I'm going new wave romantic. You have to dress like the sixth member of Duran Duran before you fucking leave the house. You have to wear like a pirate's bib before you walk out. You want to go rockabilly. You got to, first things first. You go rockabilly, that's a whole lifestyle. You can't drive around a beige Camry. You got to get a slammed Mercury. Like I got a Merc 51 chop top with the centerline wheels on it. How do you get to work? I just Uber. This fucking shit doesn't run. It's got a slant six in it, and a fucking it's a nail head, and it doesn't work. I get vapor lock. It overheats every fucking 10 feet. Like I can't. And then what about the rockabilly guy's looking good when he's going out on Saturday night because he's wearing his boots and he's got his jeans, he's got his hair all puffed up, and he's wearing his bandana and his kerchief, and he's got his leather. By the way, this look, I don't like this look. The guy who has the leather jacket and then pulls the denim sleeveless jacket over the fucking denim. How cold is it out here, douche? You're in a club all night. Okay, you got your tats. You're going to rock this town, rock it inside out. Fine. You'd rather play a stand-up bass than a regular bass guitar. So be it. But what about Sunday morning? What about Sunday morning when you have to go down to the 7-Eleven and get yourself a six-pack and some Sunny D? Then what, rockabilly douche? Sweatpants and flip-flops? I don't think so. You've committed to the rockabilly lifestyle. This guy can go in his fucking underpants with a boner. He doesn't give a shit. He's committed to no lifestyle. But steampunk guy, you can't leave the house without your top hat and monocle. Thanks, you guys. I appreciate you supporting us. Hey, how about another hand for Mark Garagus, right? Oh, wait, I got one more spot here. Oh, speaking of rockabilly guy. Sorry, I got lost in my own shit. One more spot here. Ah, Madison Reed. Well, that's right. All right. Want to put a little color in your hair, fellas? Madison Reed, mister. And you got a little salt and pepper up there. And with a little more pepper and a little less salt, might I suggest Madison Reed, mister. So Madison Reed's been around for a long time. You guys have heard about Madison Reed. But they started making hair coloring for men as well, and that's where Madison Reed Mister comes in. You just go online, match up your hair color, get a little kit, shows up, run it through your hair, let it sit for 10 minutes, and rinse it out, and Bob's your uncle. Quick, easy to apply, and again, do it in your beard, do it in your hair, a little less salt, a little more pepper, and a little more satisfaction, as Elvis would say. It's Madison Reed Mister, right, Dawson?
Go to MadisonReedMister.com. That's MadisonReedMR.com. And use code ADAM10 for 10% off plus free shipping on your first box. Again, that's code ADAM10.
Hey, thank you guys for coming out. Fun show tonight. I'm going to thank Mark Garagos for coming out here. I'm going to thank Gina and Bald. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla. Say it. Mahalo.
Stick around. All balls, all sports. Coming up next. Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Thanks to Bet Online. Pick up Adam's new book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's available everywhere. Get it now at adamcarolla.com.
Glad you guys enjoyed the live show. We got one more segment to go. Gary's filling in, and they're taking all balls, all sports. First, let me tell you about Bet Online. Football is in full swing, plus NBA Finals and MLB playoffs. You might not be at the game, but you can still get in on the action at Bet Online Sunday. Game's coming up. We got Raiders at Chiefs, should be a good one. Eagles at Steelers, Giants at Cowboys, Broncos at Patriots, Vikings at Seahawks, Dolphins at 49ers. More options to wager than anywhere online, from spreads and totals to props. Get in on season opening bonuses and wager on division championships and futures as well. Head to Bet Online today. Take advantage of all the great sign up bonuses. Just visit betonline.ag, our exclusive partner, Podcast One. Don't forget promo code Podcast One for your sign up bonus today. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts.
It's time to break down the game film and look at the X's and O's, the KOs and the O-Nos from the world of sports. BetOnline presents All Balls, All Sports.
Time for the BetOnline news. And let's paraphrase the great Lee Corso. Not so fast, Los Angeles Lakers. Jimmy Butler goes off like a squirrel at a peanut factory. 40 points, 13 boards, 11 assists. Heat beat the Lakers, 115-104, finals now 2-1 Laker lead. Now, is this just a dying gasp from a Miami franchise that was without its two biggest stars, back to the wall, played way over its head? Or are they actually here? Can they make a series of this?
You know, as a self-admitted Lakers homer, I think it's probably a gasp, but I do have a bias there, I'm sure. I think the Heat had a chance to make this a very interesting series, but I think they needed to stay healthy, and I think they needed to be on every game. And I still think that's true. If they can get a couple of those guys back and everyone has lights out games going forward, we could see this go into a game seven, I think. But I don't think Jimmy Butler can, as phenomenal and talented as he is and fun to watch, I'll add, I don't know if he can do that every night three more times, you know?
Right. Well, rumor is they're getting Adebayo back.
Yep.
For Bam Adebayo coming back for game number four, not related to Bam Margera.
No.
I know a lot of people were concerned about that.
Yeah, they do look alike. It's a weird one.
So they get a little height differential, but
yeah.
So they get Adebayo back. They don't get Dragic, at least for game four. So maybe one superstar back, Tyler Herro comes off the bench, maybe throws some stuff in. Who knows?
Yeah.
I think this could go six. I think in Miami's defense, they were the number five seed in the East. So ahead of them, Milwaukee, Toronto, Boston, and Indiana, all right. Seeded higher. Then right. They go beat the Pacers. They beat the Bucks without Giannis. They beat the Celts. So they beat who they needed to beat, although Giannis stays healthy. It's probably Bucks Lakers.
And here's that's true. And I agree
Thank
with you.
You.
I agree with you. It could go six. I could even see it going seven if they can win tonight. You know, it's been one night on, one night off for the first four games. So they get a longer break after tonight. I think it's two nights off at least before we get to game five. So if they can win tonight and the series evens up again, all of a sudden they start to get some of those guys feeling a little better, getting a little more healthy, able to go into the rotation, and Jimmy Butler keeps going off like he did in game three, I could easily see this going to game seven.
What if LeBron is suffering from some bubble exhaustion? I mean, he leaves the game early because they're down. Maybe he just wanted to beat the bubble traffic. Is it bad at 9 p.m. in the bubble? I don't know. Maybe thick. Who cares? But maybe, you know, maybe because Miami younger, looser.
Yeah.
I think the oldest guy is Iguodala, and he's kind of there to stabilize everybody. Everybody else is like under 19. It's ridiculous. Maybe the Lakers are the ones. Maybe they're putting a little too much pressure on them. I mean, they clobbered AD. The other night, they took him way out of his game. Scores 15. He sat with two fouls for a while. Maybe they're onto something. Maybe they're onto something.
Maybe they are. And look, as I said, I'm a big Lakers fan. I thought them walking off the court before the game was over was petulant and a terrible look. It just, come on, what are we doing here, guys? Be professional. I understand that was a frustrating game, but you're still up in the series. Come on. What are we doing?
It's a bubble, too. It's not like it's getting you any sort of emotional clout with a crowd either way, whether you were in Miami or in L.A. You're just walking off a court in a bubble at that point. It looks pretty stupid. I think we are down. I think we do have the two candidates for Coach of the Year in these finals. I mean –
yeah.
You know, you want to look at Spoelstra and the job he's done in Miami, which is an amazing job to get him past all those seeds above them in the East. But, you know, Frank Vogel, I mean, they took a backseat to the Clippers the entire summer. Before that, before COVID, they took a backseat to him. Everybody was talking about the Clips were on the run and the Lakers were second in their own hometown.
Yeah.
And here they are, two more wins. They got the championship. I'm not sure who I vote for.
For my money, it's Spoelstra because I think that Vogel is doing a great job, but he can only coach so as much as LeBron will let him. But the Heat are such a great story. I think if the Lakers do it, they have lived up to their talent potential. Whereas if Miami does it, they have outplayed their talent potential. They have really gone above and beyond, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, speaking of talent potential, Doc Rivers takes the job in Philly.
Yeah.
Largely because he wants to coach Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons on the same roster. A lot of people feel the 76ers should move one of them because they both like to score in the paint and they think there's some problems there. And Doc Rivers said, hey, ain't no problem here. They win 65-70% of their games when they're in the game together. That's going to get you to a final. So, you know, I like this move. Rivers has coached a lot of big names. I mean, he's in Boston. He had Garnett and Ray Allen and Paul Pierce. And he's coached Tracy McGrady and he's coached Kawhi and George. You know, so these guys are right in the wheelhouse. They're already established stars like he's used to coaching, but they're still young.
Yeah.
It could be something.
It really could be, especially if, you know, those guys, those stars that you mentioned were consulted and are excited about this. Because the one thing that I, you know, thought was if they're on board and they want Doc, I think this could be magic because it was a little surprising. You know, the reports were coming off the Clippers loss that, you know, Doc lost a little bit of control of that team when Kawhi and Paul George came over and, you know, they had the big egos and the thoughts and maybe Doc wasn't in command as much as he used to be. So I was a little surprised to see him go to another team with two big superstars like that. But if those guys were consulted and want to play for Doc, Doc certainly knows how to do it. You know, it's very easy to kick rocks at Doc Rivers right now. You know, he is the only coach to lose 3-1 up, you know, twice. And or is it three times? Whatever it is, he's done it three. Yeah. So it's easy to make fun right now, but he's also gotten all the way there. And that's a pretty small fraternity of coaches that can say they've done that. You know, that's not an easy thing to do. So once you've done it once, I'd say you're at a distinct advantage, especially if you're given players like Embiid and, you know, those are tools.
Yeah. Much like all balls, all sports, I am consulted.
Yes.
On every executive move prior to that move. If I don't agree, it does not happen. Baseball playoffs, we got, we got Dodgers and Padres opening tonight in Arlington, Texas, and Miami and Atlanta, I believe in Houston. But who cares about Miami and Atlanta? Because, you know, I mean, they're exciting, I guess, for all our fans down there. Go Rays. Go Dolphins? No. Devils? No. Manta Rays? What the hell's Miami?
Devil Rays.
Tampa Bay Devil Rays. Miami Marlins.
Miami Marlins, yes.
Aren't they the same fish? Essentially a different fish? Slightly different fish. So the slightly different fish will be playing each other in Houston. Of course, I think the marquee is Dodgers-Padres. It's the present of the present and the past of the NL West and probably the future of the NL West, at least a constant battle for the future of the NL West between these two franchises. San Diego's put it together nicely.
They look great.
And this could be a very exciting series. It will be at Globe Life Park in Arlington, Texas. And when you think of the history of baseball and the World Series, I think Globe Life. I don't know about you. A lot of people think Yankee Stadium, perhaps Fenway or Wrigley. Globe Life is what pops out of my subconscious. Why are they doing it here? I don't understand why they're going all the way through to the World Series at Globe Life Park
now,
in Arlington, Texas.
Not to be confused with Globe Life Field, which is in the parking lot across the street, which was thoroughly confusing to me. Yes, apparently their old stadium is called Globe Life Field. But the new one that they just opened is called Globe Life Park because why wouldn't we make things very confusing?
What kind of grip on the community of Arlington does Globe Life have?
I don't know.
Where they have this kind of control over – this is weird. It's like a Twilight Zone episode. They control everything apparently in Arlington.
It's absolutely
wild.
Globe
Life.
You know, the stadium does look pretty cool, the retractable roof, and it is new, so maybe they want the shiny new thing, but I agree with you. Arlington, Texas does not pop to my mind as the pinnacle of the center of the baseball world by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, have you seen the field? I don't want to get confused, not Globe Life Field, I mean the field at Globe Life Park.
The surface.
Which is brand new, super state-of-the-art, synthetic turf thing, partially made from coconut husks.
Right. Yeah.
And I watched a ball game there, and anything that went into the outfield skipped along and left a trail like a water skier. You got to see this.
Yeah, I'm going to.
One clip that kind of shows it.
I'm going to put up the video here.
It's a shot in the right. See it? See that splash?
Right.
Look at that.
And
now when you get a hot grounder that gets through the infield and is skipping along four or five times, you get that kickback every single time. It's bizarre.
It's wild. And what's crazier, the players like it. The players say that it works better than, you know, because before this is, you're right. You mentioned that it's from ground up coconuts, the stuff they put under this artificial turf. But before that, they used to use pellets that were made from recycled tires, and the rubber would change the way the ball bounced. So guys really disliked it. And by all accounts, the Texan players really like this stuff. But God, it looks awful on TV. It's very confusing.
You got to wear water goggles to play infield. And seriously, Elon Musk is having a martini on Mars, and we can't figure out something better than coconut husks or ground up tires.
It's
splashing against. Forget it. Anyway, let's check the Bet Online line from Bet Online. All right, NBA Finals tonight, Game 4, Lakers 7.5-point favorites. And money lines at -360. So
I'm taking
the gambling folk have zero faith.
I'm taking the Heat if that's the
Miami
line.
Heat.
Yeah.
That's a good bet, the Heat. I mean, if you got a couple of shekels, you don't mind necessarily losing. That's a great bet.
Absolutely. And as a Lakers fan, I think I could end up making money and going up 3-1 in that series, because it's going to be a close game. It's not going to be a 9-point win or a 12-point win. I mean, 7.5, it could easily be a 3-point game at the end.
Gary, tell your wife to lock up the college fund for the kid, all right? Thursday night football. Let's take our first look at that. Bucks, 5.5-point favorites at the Chicago Bears. But as the Bears proved last weekend, they are no greater threat at home than they are anywhere else on the planet. So people betting Brady. Bet Brady on that one. Bucks at -220 on the money line. And that, my friends, for the great Gary Smith and myself, that's the Bet Online line. I'm Jeff Cesario for All Balls, All Sports. I'll do that again so we can throw to Adam, right?
Yeah.
All right. Money line is Bucks -220. And let's see what Adam Carolla has to say about all this betting.
Thanks, guys. Bet Online. Football's in full swing. Plus, you got the NBA, got the finals. Want to get in on that NBA. Now's the time, because we don't have too many games left. MLB playoffs as well. You might not be at the game, but you can get in on all the action, and you can do it at Bet Online. Raiders and Chiefs coming up. Should be a good game. Eagles at Steelers, Giants, Cowboys, Broncos, Patriots, Vikings at Seahawks, and Dolphins at 49ers. Just a couple of games to think about. More options to wager on than anywhere else online, from spreads and totals to props. Get in on season opening bonuses, wager on division and championship futures. Head to BetOnline today. Take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Visit BetOnline.ag, our exclusive partner at Podcast One. Don't forget promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, take it away, Gary and Jeff.
Thanks, Ace. Jeff, that was another excellent episode. A lot of fun. Thanks for having me. To the fans, Adam will be back tomorrow and for the rest of the week. We've got some very fun guests planned for you both this week and in the weeks to come. So stay tuned to All Balls, All Sports. Jeff, thanks a lot, man.
Perfect. That's the Bet Online line. I'm Jeff Cesario for All Balls, All Sports.
All Balls, All Sports. Presented by Bet Online. Your online sportsbook expert.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.